Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure that, like me, all of you have certainly received things in the mail or probably also by email, spam, offers that sound simply too good to be true. And usually we can pretty easily see through these too good to be true offers that for the blatant scams that many of them are. Sometimes we might get caught, or a deal that looks pretty legit catches our eye, and we start thinking about it and wondering, what if, could this possibly be true? Maybe we even invest some time investigating it, maybe filling out some forms. Maybe perhaps we even invest a little bit of money, only tragically to find out in the end, after wasting some time and perhaps some money, that, yeah, it was, in fact, too good to be true. Well, in the Bible, God makes a lot of offers that sound to our human ears that have been trained to spot things that look too good to be true. Some of the offers from God actually sound too good to be true to our skeptical human ears. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, for example, chapter 55, God invites us to come to his free heavenly banquet. He says, "All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Even if you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." In the New Testament, Jesus makes a similar offer. In John chapter 4, he says, "Whoever drinks the water I will give him will never be thirsty ever again. Rather, the water I will give him will become in him a spring of water, bubbling up to eternal life." Now, people who hear these gospel promises, these gospel offers of God for the first time, might call them fantastic, too good to possibly be true. But they are true. We know the one who is making these offers to us. We know that he is absolutely trustworthy, that he does not lie. Today in our gospel reading that we heard from Matthew chapter 11, we have another one of these amazing offers of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is one of the most appealing passages of comfort found anywhere in the Bible. This is an invitation that certainly none of us would want to pass up on or turn down, especially at a time like this when we've been now through months of pandemic and lockdown and restrictions, and for many people, isolation, perhaps financial hardship, perhaps personal illness or illness of close family members or friends, and even death of our loved ones, the upheaval in society around us in recent weeks and months. This invitation from Jesus coming to us in the midst of all that we've been experiencing, and certainly whatever might be going on in our personal lives, certainly a very enticing and inviting invitation, the most welcome invitation to receive true rest from Jesus, our Savior. Let's look at to whom Jesus addresses this invitation. He gives us invitation to all people. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Just think about so many of the other gospel passages in the Bible that are addressed in the same way. They're universal in their invitation. Think of that quintessential gospel passage, the gospel in a nutshell, as we sometimes like to call it, John 3:16, where Jesus talks about God's love. God so loved who? Just a few people? The world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But yet in spite of the universality of that invitation, there is still kind of a limitation. There are some people who are indirectly, at least, excluded from this invitation. Listen to it again. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And so, if you picked up on it, that kind of indirectly leaves out the people who think that they just have it all together, the people who don't feel weary and burdened. And it's not just talking about people who don't have financial difficulties or health difficulties, because at times in our lives, God may bless us in that way. Without health problems or financial difficulties, it's not just talking about that. It's also talking about people who don't feel that they have any spiritual burden, any spiritual weariness that they need God's help with, or at least people who don't want to admit that they do have those spiritual burdens. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is not us. That is not you and me. We just confessed a few minutes ago at the beginning of this service, I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you, God, in my thoughts, words, and actions. I've done what is evil. I've failed to do what is good. For this, God, I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. So yes, we who confess those words, sincerely meaning those words, we know very well our spiritual need, our spiritual weariness and burdens. The guilt of our sins that so often weighs down upon us, weighs on our hearts, that guilt which rightly convicts us of our sins against God's commandments. Not just our outward actions, not just murder or adultery or stealing, which we might be able to say, I've never done that, or at least I haven't done it recently, but also in our words, in our thoughts, and the desires of our hearts. Besides this burden of guilt on our souls, we also bear other burdens in life, as we just talked about. Physical distress, sickness, the complications that just come from old age, emotional problems or psychological problems, other burdens on our souls, on our spirits. To all who come to Jesus with their burdens, to all who cast their worries, their weariness, their concerns on him, Jesus promises, I will give you rest. The Greek word for rest here is related to the English word for pause. And we can think of the rest that Jesus gives as kind of a pause that gives us relief. Think of it kind of as like a rest stop, a pit stop on our life's journey. Respite. Rest from whatever is bothering us or troubling us. In John chapter 14, Jesus declares, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Now, if you were here last Sunday for our worship service, or if you watched it online, remember that Jesus said something that seems to contradict those words that we just heard from John chapter 14 about giving us peace, leaving peace with us. Because in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword, division, conflict. But as we discussed last week, the key to understanding those words of Jesus is to understand that he brings a radically different kind of peace than the kind of peace that the world generally thinks of or that the world can offer. The peace that the world can give is at best a temporary relief from the trouble and difficulty of this life. Jesus, however, gives true and lasting peace and rest that resides deep in our souls. The peace that passes all understanding. That verse from Philippians chapter 4 that we're so comforted by and that we so often use as a blessing at the end of our sermons. Jesus gives that lasting peace. It's peace that lasts forever, because it's peace not just in our bodies, not just in our minds. It's peace that transcends the circumstances of this life and this world. It's spiritual peace with God, based on the forgiveness of our sins that Jesus has won for us, based on his perfect life that he has credited to our account in God's sight. So when God looks at us now, he doesn't see us as objects of his wrath because of our sins. He sees us as objects of his love because of Jesus' perfect life credited to our account. God sees us as being in perfect standing with him, in perfect harmony, harmonious relationship with him. So that's where this true peace that Jesus gives to us comes from. And so with all our burdens, with all the burdens that we face in this life, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, this invitation from Jesus to true rest and peace is an invitation that we gladly accept. But then Jesus goes on to say something that seems to contradict what he just said about giving us rest. He goes on to talk about putting a yoke on us. And now for us today, that word yoke might not immediately mean a whole lot. Perhaps the first thing that we think about when we hear that word yoke is egg yolks. But of course, that is a totally different word. Egg yolk is Y-O-L-K. This yoke is Y-O-K-E. Something entirely different. A yoke was a piece of wood that was placed along the neck or shoulders of a pack animal or a beast of burden to allow that animal to be harnessed up to pull a plow or a carriage or to carry some other kind of burden. It could go around the neck or across the neck of a single animal or tie multiple animals together to carry or pull a load together. So when you think about that, Jesus is talking about putting his yoke on us. It seems kind of weird that Jesus would talk about putting something that seems burdensome, that seems like it would be wearying on our neck or our shoulders, right after he has talked about giving us rest. But as we read on, it starts to make sense as Jesus explains to us first about himself, who he is, and his character. He says that he is gentle and humble in heart. And he says that since he is that way, his yoke that he gives to us is not burdensome for us. It's not wearying for us. But instead, he says, his yoke that he gives to us is easy and light. It's really no burden at all. And when we take that yoke on ourselves, when we believe in Jesus as our Savior and determine to follow him throughout this life, then instead of feeling burdened by that yoke, we actually find true rest for our souls. Now think about the tragic irony of it. Really, it's a great tragedy that happens so often. When so many people in this life who perhaps grew up knowing Jesus, but then as they enter into their teenage years or adulthood, they start to run away from Jesus, from God's word, because they think that by doing so, they'll have a life that is free from the burdens of the commandments that Jesus gives, that God gives in his word. But what they actually end up with is a life that's weighed down by a burden of guilt, by the consequences of whatever sins they devote themselves to. Weariness of spiritual and emotional burdens. But ironically, perhaps, from the just literal meaning of the words, those who take Jesus' yoke on themselves, those who follow Jesus throughout their life and trust in him, they actually find true freedom and true rest. Freedom from the slavery to sin and its consequences and the havoc that it wreaks in our souls and in our minds and in our emotions and in our lives, we have the rest in our souls that comes from knowing that all of our sins have been fully forgiven through Jesus. That we are at peace and rest with God now, and that that peace and rest with God will continue for eternity with Him in heaven. That is true rest for our souls. Thank God that we have that true rest. May God grant that we live every day of this life